Well, good morning to each one, and happy Valentine's Day. It's already been mentioned. Great day to express your love to those you love in your life and those who maybe you struggle with the love. Message that's been rolling around in my mind for a long time that I wanted to bring sometime, and it just felt like now was the time, was developing a culture of honor and respect. 2 weeks ago, we were out at the pastor's conference, and Sam shared on honoring and leadership, and I really appreciated what he brought. And I told him he could preach for me here, but he was here. Where is he? Is Sam here? He declined to. There he is. He declined to speak, so that's all right. I was going to play a clip from the movie Fireproof, but it was very intense, and I didn't want to scare the children. So I'm just going to tell it, not like it was in the movie. It's in the beginning where Kirk, I'm not sure his movie name, but he was interacting with his wife in the kitchen, if you remember the movie, and they were arguing back and forth over he wanted to buy a boat, and she didn't want him to buy a boat, and arguing over who does what and who does the most, and they're trying to pay the house off, and they're working two jobs, and they're just going back and forth. Finally, Kirk's like this, and he turns around and tells her to be quiet, in another word, and gets in her face and says, "I don't get any respect around here. All I do for you, all I do to keep this house going, this to pay for the mortgage," and all, he just went on and on. And the wife replies back, "Well, you'll never get the respect you want from me." And he says, "If that's the case, the marriage is over." And the end of that scene. A very intense conversation. But you know, the fact is that conversation goes on countless times all over the United States and even in our hometowns and sometimes even in our own houses. Between husbands and wives to husbands, fathers to children and children to fathers, children to siblings, grandchildren to grandparents, employees to employers, students to teachers, drivers to police officers, one under authority to those over authority. The cry for respect is huge in our culture today. We live in a culture that promotes self, and it says that I'm the ultimate authority. I don't need to listen on nobody. It's my right. It's my right to stand against my dad. It's my right to stand against my employer or my government. It's my right not to take advice from my elders. Against any authority figure, I am my own authority. And we reject the biblical blueprint of authority that God has set up. This morning I'm going to be asking a lot of questions. I've broken it into four sections. I want to talk about culture. I want to talk about what the Bible says. I want to talk about what the Bible says about authority. And then we're going to have some practical applications. The meaning of honor in Scripture, in the Greek it means to revere, to prize, to value. To revere, to prize, to value, to esteem, or great respect. In Hebrew it means heavy or weighty, so it means a lot. It's important. It's important. Now we could stop and I could sit down and you could apply what I just said to all your relationships, and this world would be a better place. But I want to give you a few more things to think about. The Bible talks a lot about honor and respect. Respect is mentioned 31 times in 32 verses in the Scripture. And honor is mentioned 174 times in Scripture, just to give you context. I believe the basic law for any society to survive, we have to understand what it means to be under authority and what it means to respect authority. And when respect for authority is not there, either from a breakdown of trust or a breakdown of deserving of honor for that position, outside of Jesus Christ, it's almost impossible for honor to be given to position alone. And we'll talk more about that. And when there's abuse and corruption of authority, when there's it's difficult to regain that authority. And then the entire system of society comes crumbling down when respect for authority is not there. Think with me. That's why in Colossians 3:21 says, "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." Now think about it. Father's an authority figure. He's in a position of authority in the home. It says, do not drive your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Your position deserves honor. According to the Bible, your position deserves honor. He says, don't make it hard for them. Don't drive them to anger, lest they be discouraged, and it's hard for them to give you honor in your position. Make it easy for them. It's so important in our homes that honor and respect is being passed on. It affects all of society. And we see the falling apart of the homes today and how that has a huge effect on society. It's breaking down the respect for authority. It follows on down in the schools, in churches, to authority through the police officers, to government officials. When there's a breakdown of respect for authority, the whole system crumbles. The whole society crumbles. And it creates a society of anarchy. And we see it today. And I want you to think, how many problems in our society today are because of lack of respect for authority and for corruption in authority? Those two things. How many of our problems in our world can be broken down into those two areas? You know, a big word today is bullying. You hear it in schools that kids are being bullied, children are being bullied. And really, all that is a lack of respect for people. It's a lack of respect for people who don't look like us, for people who don't think like us, for people who don't fit in. We don't value them as valuable image bearers of Jesus Christ. God created them in his image. Brothers and sisters, I want us as a body of believers to lead the charge in developing a culture of honor and respect. That our homes are a safe place. That our homes are a safe place for our children, where honor is both given and received. Ephesians 6, 2 and 3 says, "Honor thy father and thy mother," which is the first commandment with promise. And we'll talk about that, the first commandment with promise, a little bit later. "That it may be well with thee, that thou may live long on the earth." Of course, the fifth commandment is, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that the days may be long upon the land which the Lord has given thee." The Jewish culture, I want to talk a little bit about the culture in the Bible and then some cultures here today. Jewish culture understood this thing of honor in huge ways. One time there was a little boy named Isaac. His dad said, "Isaac, come with me." And he said, "Yes, Dad." He says, "Follow me. We're going up to the mountain." "Yes, Dad." Little boy says, where's the sacrifice when they get there?" He said, "God will provide." You know, it's not recorded in Scripture. I read the account there. It's not recorded that he said those actual things. But it didn't say he kicked and screamed and said, "Dad, I ain't going. Why are you taking me up here? What are you going to do to me?" We don't hear any of that because there is a culture of honor and respect for the father in that position. There's another story in Scripture of a man who gathers his sons and said, "For the next 100 years, you're going to build a boat. It has never rained, but for the next 100 years, you're going to build a boat. People will mock us. They're going to make fun of you, but we're going to build this boat." And they said, "Yes, Dad." Now, again, I'm assuming some things. It's not in Scripture, but it's not recorded that they fought him or bucked them. It's not actually recorded that they mocked him there in Genesis, but in other scriptures it talked about the culture of the day. But there was a culture of honor and respect for the dad in the position that the sons understood. The Bible teaches that the entire universe and the order is built on order and flow of authority and honoring authority. And society breaks down when we fail to understand that order and how God designed it. I'll talk about two cultures. In the culture of Japan, there's a lot of isms in the religion. There's mysticism, Shintoism, Buddhism, pantheism. But there's also a trace of the knowledge of God there. In their language, the symbol for sacrifice is actually a lamb on an altar. And some other things in Japan point to an early knowledge of God, but it has been distorted and twisted over the years and has been influenced by heathen practices. But honor is huge in that society. Honor for authority and honor for parents is huge in the Japanese culture. Their life expectancy is one of the highest in our land. Japan is, life expectancy is 83 years. The life expectancy of North Korea is 69 years. I believe Japan doesn't have everything right, but they understand honor. And even though it may be twisted some in their worship of ancestors, God honors even the heathen who honor God's principles are blessed. Most of you know we have Cherim here from South Korea, and their culture is built on honor as well, a huge honor for authority figures. And so I sat down with her yesterday, and I told her, tell me about how they teach honor in their culture and in their homes and in their schools. It's taught very early. It's taught in elementary school that you honor and respect your authorities, and you honor and respect your parents. excuse me. They teach you how to bow. It's just not the head nod, like if I would acknowledge Darren walking down the street, I'd nod my head. That is rude. You bow at the waist. And you do that to older people you know. So when you're walking down the street, you don't bow to everyone that you meet. But if I see Dan and I'm walking down the street, he's my elder, I would bow to him in recognition of his position. And they do that in the hallways too, with their teachers. If they're walking down the hallway and a teacher comes, they bow to them. You may spend half your day bowing, but they get the principle. If you see a teacher sweeping the floor, you go up to the teacher and you take the broom from her or him and you sweep it because they're higher than you and that's something you should do. Grandparents, you bow to grandparents when they come into your home. They eat first. You do not start eating until they eat. It's just a way of respecting their grandparents. When you respond to a teacher, you respond with a yes. You respect what they ask you to do. She said that's one of the biggest things she's noticed in coming to America is a disrespect for teachers. If you have a question, you say, may I, and appeal to them. In public transportation, they have elder seats that are yellow. So in subways, they have seats that are especially for older people. And for you pregnant ladies out there, they have special seats for you as well, that they respect that position. It's in school, if you disrespect, you either go to the principal's office or you get points deducted from your score, from your class. If I would give Sam a book, okay, he reached out and accepted it. So when their way of honoring is they receive with two hands. It's just a way of acknowledging you that you're giving something. And you never point to someone. You never say, Sam, you use an open hand when you talk to somebody. So their culture, they understand honor. And they have ways of living it out. I'm not saying we have to adopt their ways of living it out, but they understand honor. They understand honor for position. They understand honor for authority. Next, I want to look at what the Bible says about honor. The Bible says we're to extend honor to three groups of people: our parents, aged, and those in authority. I'm going to be reading a lot of scripture. You don't have to turn to them all if you want to write them down. I'm not going to nearly cover the subject. I'm just going to highlight some of it because the Bible says so much about it. Ephesians 6:2, honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Leviticus 19:32, you shall stand up before the gray head and honor the face of the old man. And you shall fear your God, I am the Lord. Talking about respecting for older people. Romans 13:1, let every person be subject to a governing authority. For there is no authority except from God. Those who that exist have been instituted by God. Peter tells us to honor all people and love the brotherhood. Fear God and honor the king in 1 Peter 2:17. Honoring others, especially those in authority, comes from the fact that they represent God's ultimate authority. It's their representation of God's authority, and he wants us to honor that authority. It says, submit to the governing authorities because they have been established by God. Then in Romans 13:2, it says, therefore, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. And those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. What a amazing principle that I think we miss so often. That when we fight against authorities, we're fighting against God himself. It's highly important that we as Christians lead the way in this thing of honor. And those who God has placed over us, through obedience and demonstration of respect. You know, if President Obama would walk in here today, I would hope that we would all stand and recognize his position. Even though we don't agree with him in many areas, we would recognize him and honor him for his position. The Bible gives us commands how to honor employees and employers in that relationship. 1 Timothy 6:1, let all who are under a yoke as bondservants regard it their own masters as worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and the teaching may not be reviled. Ephesians 6:5-9, bondservants or employees, obey your earthly master with fear and trembling, with sincere heart as you would Christ. So it says, honor them as you would Christ. Not with the way of eye service, as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not unto man. So it talks about how to relate to your employer, how to give a good day's work, as and not just say you're going to do it and not do it with lip service, but do it with your from your heart as you would to Christ, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a bondservant or free. Masters, do the same to them. Stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours in heaven, that there is no partiality with them. So it talks about employers as well. How do you treat your employees? Do you treat them with honor? Do you treat them with respect? Scripture cares about that. God cares about that. How we as employers treat our employees, and how the employees respect the employer. You know, today's Valentine's Day, and we think a lot about the marriage relationship. I think it'd be good if we would turn to it, but I don't know if I want to take the time. In Ephesians 5:21-33, where it talks about husbands' love and the wife's submission, and how the husband loves as Christ loves the church. It's just a good reminder again for us who are married to think about our commitments to our spouses. Love is synonymous with honor. in Romans 12, 10, it says, honor one another above yourselves. Put others above yourself in this thing of honor. You know, honor goes against the natural instinct. We want to receive honor for what we have done. And to honor others above ourselves goes against our natural instinct. And it takes power from the Lord to love as we should, to put others above ourselves and to honor them. It's just not always easy to honor your fellow man above yourself. Scripture talks about behavior goes hand in hand with honor. Righteous behavior. And Proverbs said, he who pursues righteousness and love finds life, prosperity, and honor. So put that in other words, he who pursues living right or doing what is right receives honor, prosperity, and life. So as you seek to do what is right, to honor the Lord, one of the fruits of that is you will honor other people with your life. We live in a different world. We live in a world where people want honor. People want celebrity status. They think that's the ticket. They want to be recognized for what they do. Jesus has something to say about that as well. It says, God opposes the proud in 1 Peter 5:5, but gives grace to the humble. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Jesus said, the Pharisees sought accolades of man. In Matthew, he says, everything they do is for men to see them. The point here is we live in a world that is fighting against putting others above ourselves. It's fighting against honoring each other. That's the world we live in. They don't honor God and give him his position that he deserves. Four things I want you to understand about honor, about authority in relationship to honor. What does the Bible have to say about authority? The first thing it says in Romans 13 is all authority is given by God. Let every person be subject to a governing authority, for there is no authority except from God. And those that exist have been established and instituted by God. Something for us to understand, all authority is given by God. God is the ultimate authority. And he gives different positions a limited authority. And he delegates it to different positions. In the church, he delegates authority to pastors, to deacons, and different giftings in the church. God gives them authority to use their gift in a certain way that he has given them. And it's our responsibility to work within that authority. We don't have ultimate authority. We have limited authority. That God gives us limited authority. And we're responsible to God for that authority. Parents, you've been given authority. You've been given authority to train up your children in the Lord. That's the authority God gave you to raise your children. The boss at work, you may disagree with him at times. You may wish he wasn't there. But do you realize that he did not put himself there? You may think he did. He applied for the job. But ultimately, God put him there. And God gave him a certain amount of authority. And so, according to Scripture, if we're fighting against our boss, we're actually fighting against God. That's what God's telling us. If we have a problem with that person, we're actually fighting against the authority structure that God has put up. God's system is built on authority and honoring that authority. And like I alluded to, the second thing is authority has limitations. Parents, you are not allowed to provoke your children to wrath. That's not within your realm of authority. You're not allowed to provoke your children to wrath. You don't have that right. God gave you your children for a season. You are stewards. You're to train them and instruct them. And you have certain authority, but it's limited authority. Police officer walks into Dunkin' Donuts and grabs a dozen donuts and walks out the door. That is beyond the realm of his authority. He does not have the authority to do that. Employers, you do not have the right to abuse your employees. That is not within the realm of your authority. God didn't give you the right to abuse your employees. Pastors have been given a certain authority to preach the word, and they are not allowed to preach false doctrine. Even though it's happening, it is outside of the authority that they've been given. It is not within their realm of authority. So all authority comes from God, but all authority is limited. It's not, you do not have ultimate authority. Number three, all authorities come with burdens as well as privileges. All authorities come with burdens as well as privileges. Have you ever looked at your mom or dad and said, man, they got it made. They don't have to go to school. They don't have the problems I have. They don't have to deal with some of the people I have to deal with. Or look at your employers and say, they got it made. They don't have to work as hard as I do. They don't have to get up when I do. You know, they're making all this money. They got it made. But with every authority comes a privilege and a responsibility. You know, leaders in churches, leaders in jobs, leaders at home have a lot of pressure. And you never really understand what that's like till you get there. When you're an employee, you think the employers have it all made. When you're an employer, you think the employees have it all made. But you have no idea the amount of pressure that positions carry. And we need to think about that. Children, do you realize how many sleepless nights your parents have spent on your behalf praying for you? Caring for you. Number four, God will hold your authority figure accountable. The Bible is clear on how to deal with authority figures when they get outside the lines of authority, with wicked authority figures. And some of you have come from abusive situations where you were abused horribly by authorities. And you know the pain that goes with that, and it's horrible. And God cares about that. And he wants to heal your heart in that. We could all probably tell stories of ways you were abused by authority. Maybe you're accused for something you never did. Maybe you're arrested for doing something you didn't do. Maybe you were abused by a father or mother or an uncle or a cousin. Maybe you were abused by a church leader. And that's very prevalent in some of our circles. I want to remind you of a story in the Bible of David and Saul. You think you've had it bad, and you probably have had some bad situations. But David was Saul's son-in-law, and David was also under Saul because David was king, with Saul was king. But Saul wanted to kill David. He was out to make his daughter a widow. Can you imagine? Saul was both father-in-law and king of David. But as the story goes, Saul has killed his thousands and David his 10,000. That made Saul very angry to the point that inside him he wanted to get rid of David. How dark and wicked his heart must have been. I don't know if any of you have been on that end of a threat or not, of wanting to kill you. But Saul wanted to kill David. And he was out to get it done. David was in a cave. You know the story. Saul came in to relieve himself. In 1 Samuel 24. And his men said, David, he delivered him right to you. Kill him. He's right in your wheelhouse. Take care of him. Get rid of this man. And David said no. But what he did do, he went and cut a piece of his garment off. But after he did that, it smote his heart because he said, I did it to the Lord's anointed, and I did not have authority to do that. If ever a man had a right to get even in this moment, David did. But David didn't do that. Instead, he blessed Saul. As the story goes, Saul gets up and goes outside the tent, the cave. David follows after and says, my Lord and my King, and he bows down before him at a distance. The honor and respect that David gave Saul for his position, even though he was trying to kill him. And he appealed to him and said, Saul, why are you trying to kill me? Why are you trying to kill me? He said, I've done nothing wrong to you. I've done nothing to you. There's a picture here of how to deal with a wicked authority. The first thing David did, he appealed to Saul, and it didn't work. Saul was after to kill him. So David fled. He got out of there. He got out of the way of, out from his presence. The second thing he did was, the first thing he did, he fled from his physical presence. And that's something I want you to hear, that if you're under the authority of a wicked person who's trying to physically hurt you, and you've appealed and it hasn't worked, I think we need to find a safe place. I don't think we should stay in that situation. But notice David's response. Even though he could have got even, even though he could have killed Saul, he said, the Lord judge between me and you, and I will not raise my hand against the Lord's anointed. In other words, he said, Lord, you take care of the situation. I do not have the authority to take care of this man. It's in your realm. But I will not touch the Lord's anointed. I will not speak evil of the Lord's anointed. He recognized he didn't have authority to take care of Saul. He recognized it was God's authority to take care of Saul. And he said, I pray the Lord will be merciful to you. How do we measure up? I said, wow, what a man of honor and respect. So many times we want to take things in our own hands, and I want to fix James. I'm going to go up to James and I'm going to rattle his chain. We have that mentality of fixing people, of taking authority into our own hands. Husbands and wives, you've been commanded to love as Christ loves the church. You're commanded to love. You're commanded to love your wife as Christ loves the church. And we have many stories. We could tell many stories of how that is fleshed out. And husbands and wives, you're commanded to respect your husbands. Though he may be a drunkard, though he may not be living up the way you think he should live, in 1 Peter 3, you can read this on your own, in 1 Corinthians 7, it talks about if your husband is not a godly man, how to treat him. Or maybe he's not acting like a godly man. Maybe you want him to do X, Y, Z, or maybe you wish he would do X, Y, Z. Or maybe he's not treating you the way you want him to. That you would like him to. What's your responsibility? It says, don't rebuke him. Don't talk back to him because it's not your authority to do that. God has set up an order for you to live under this man and how to relate to him. Paul says, win him over with a gracious spirit, with a pure heart. God will work through you. Sanctifying your family with your attitude. And with your influence, win him over. But whatever you do, don't make yourself an authority over your husband. God will work through your submission. There are respectful ways to bring your heart to your husband, and we need to define those ways. But if it's not safe at home, then we need to find a safe place. But David understood that with his father-in-law and king, and with wives to husbands, we need to understand the same principle applies of honor and respect for the position, and let the Lord take care of them. So you may say, what do you do when someone does you wrong, does something totally wrong to you? There's another story in the Bible of the Apostle Paul. And I want you to turn to that in Acts 23. I didn't really realize this was in the scripture. I heard the term that of what he called him, but I didn't understand the context. Acts 23, 1 through 5. And Paul earnestly beholding the council said, "Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. And high priest Ananias commanded them that stood by him to smite him in the mouth. Then Paul said unto them, God shall smite you, thou whited wall. For sittest thou to judge me after the law, and commandest me to be smitten contrary to the law? And they that stood by revilest thou the God's high priest?" Notice this change in demeanor here. Then said Paul, "I wist not, brethren, that he was a high priest. For it is written, thou shalt not speak evil of a ruler of the people." Notice what happened there. Saul was preaching truth. Ananias had one of the, he was talking to the high priest, Ananias had one of the men come up and slap Paul in the face. And Paul did what I probably would have did, got mad and called him a name, a whited wall or whited sepulcher. When he found out the position of the man, he repented. He said, "I had no authority to talk to this man that way." We're covering a lot of principles this morning, and I just pray that as we reflect on God's order of authority, that we would apply it to our lives. The fifth commandment says, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that it may be well with thee, that thou may live long on the earth." And it's mentioned that it is the first commandment with promise. Now, there's this thing of the law of the first mention. When something's first mentioned in Scripture, pay attention. For example, the first time love was mentioned in the Bible was not in the garden, but it was in the context of Isaac, Abraham and Isaac. And it pointed to, so it was used in that context of sacrificing Isaac, and it pointed to the greatest sacrifice of Jesus on Calvary. So the law of the first mention of how, in this situation of love, pointed to Jesus being sacrificed, the centerpiece of Scripture, the greatest love story. And so here's another first mention, the first commandment with promise. And it points to Hebrews 12, where it says, if we resist authority of our earthly father, we're resisting the authority of our heavenly father. All of our lives, we will be under some authority. And God wants us to get this, that we'll be under authority at every point in our life, under some authority. And we need to learn to live within that authority and rest within that authority, that it may be well with thee. We all know people who have a rest in their spirit of just life. Like, it's they just have a rest in their spirit that things are okay, that God has everything under control. They don't get worked up. They don't get excited. They're at peace with themselves. There's a rest in their spirit. Men who submit themselves to authority make it easy for others to follow. Wives who follow their husbands and speak highly of their husbands and honor them and respect them, there's a peace and there's a rest. Parents, we must set an example in our homes of being under authority, so that our children can have a restful spirit. You know, if we're bucking authorities and angry about authorities, that flows down to our children as well. Is there a rest in your spirit? That it may be well with you. You know, when there's an unrest, when there's an uptightness, when you're angry and always, you just want to get at them, it's not good for your physical body, and it will never be well with you. I want to go to the practical side real quickly here. This thing of honor parents starts with you. It starts with parents in the home. To establish a culture of honor in your homes. Galen last week said about some of the questions I gave to my girls. And one of the questions was, do they feel valued and respected? Do your children feel valued and respected? Is there the foundation of love, belonging, and significance in your home? The fourth thing, do they see you as parents under God's order of authority? Do they see you living under authority and honoring those over you? So parents, you set the tone. Children are called to honor their father and their mother. The wisest man, Solomon, said, honor and respect your parents. Follow Christ's example of how he submitted to his heavenly father. If you want a picture of what it looks like to honor your father and the mother, look how Jesus honored his father, his heavenly father. Third thing is just don't say it. Just don't say you honor them. Honor them with your words and deeds. With your deeds as well. Some of you have come from hard situations where your parents have made it difficult to honor them. And in the worst case scenario, maybe the only thing you can honor them for is that they brought you into the world. I hope that's not the case. But if that's the only thing you can thank them for, we need to honor them that they brought you into the world. Another thing I want to say about children and honoring is honoring each other. You know, as you relate with other children, they have different rules that they may live by at their house. If I go to Galen's house, his children probably have some different rules than my children have. Or any place you go, you run into different rules that children have to live by. And so my cry to you is children and young people, in relating with other people, can you honor the way that they've been brought up? And don't say, you mean you really got to do that? You have to be home by what time? You can't go where? You can't wear what? You know, can we help them honor their parents and say, you know, hey, that's what your parents have set up for you. I'm going to respect that and make it easy for them to honor their parents. You know, we can make it really, really hard with peer pressure for them not to honor their parents. So we have a tremendous opportunity to help each other honor our parents. The third area is respect for our elders. And that's a huge thing in our culture of lack of respect for elders, for older people. You know, they've lived a long time. They have a lot of life experiences. They have a lot we can learn and draw from. Value your parents, no matter what their age. And as I was thinking about this, I thought of Elaine and how she took care of her parents. It's a beautiful picture of honoring her parents in an older age. Model your parents' godly attributes. Protect your parents' individual dignity. Fulfill their joys, what makes them happy. If they love putting puzzles together, my mom loves putting puzzles together. You know, find out what they love doing and be involved in their lives. Listen to them. When they speak, listen to them. Ask them for advice. They've lived a long time. Young people and younger people, there's a wealth of knowledge in our older people. Ask them for advice. Visit them. Ask them stories about when they were young. Ask them stories about what they've learned. Tell them you respect them and appreciate them. Ways we can honor the older people among us. The next group I want to talk to is the young guys. And guys, you have a tremendous opportunity to honor and respect the young girls in your youth group and those you rub shoulders with. You know, we live in a world where young girls are images and not image bearers. And guys, you have a tremendous opportunity to chart a different course, to show that value does not come from what's on the outside, but to draw from the beauty deep within them that God's put in them and draw that out and respect them for who they are and how God made them, to value them as image bearers and not images. I don't think we as guys realize what it means to girls to say that we're going to respect you for who you are and how God made you. We're not asking you to meet a certain standard, but I want to get to know you and to know what's really inside you and just to draw that beautiful spirit out of them. Do you realize what that would do to the girls if we would show that kind of respect to them? And young ladies, live up to the reality that you're an image bearer of God. And don't cave to the pressures that you have to look a certain way. But allow that beautiful spirit to burst forth that God put in you. And be secure in the identity of that you are a child of the King. You know, I asked my girls, I said, what would it mean to you to be, if you were a daughter of President Obama? Well, she said, I wouldn't want to be. But she said, "But I wanted to say the privileges that you have because you are that position. And as children of the King, do we realize what treasures are ours because of our position in Jesus Christ?" And now to the young people together. There's a tremendous pressure in our day and age to be physically active before marriage. It's a tremendous pressure out there. It's a reality of our time. I want to read you a verse in 1 Thessalonians 4. It says, that you abstain from sexual immorality so that each of you know how to control your own bodies in sanctification and honor, not in lustful desires like the Gentiles who do not know God. We live in a pressure where there is no restraints. There's no limits. There's no authority, no accountability. And I just plead to you young people to follow God's design, God's plan for marriage, for sexuality, and reap the blessing of living in that reality. I want to close with just a call for each of you as parents to establish a culture of honor and respect in your homes. You know, I talked about what it's like in Japan. I talked about what it's like in South Korea. We're not in Japan. We're not in South Korea. But what's it mean for you in your home to establish a culture of honor? How will you flesh this out in your home? Like, how are you going to live out honor and respect in your home? You know, as a team, we've come up with rules of engagement in our leadership team that we will honor each other by these rules that we've set up. So get together as a family. Do it as a family. How will you show honor to each other? How will you honor your parents when they come to your house? How will you honor other people? How will you honor the pastors? Not just because I'm a pastor, but authorities. How will you honor the policemen? How will you honor the government leaders? How will you talk about government leaders? Think about David and Saul. He said, I will not touch the Lord's anointed or speak evil of him. But the Lord's be your judge. Even in the midst that he was going to kill him. You know, as I studied, I have a long way to go. But I want to be a man of honor, and I'm committed to being a man of honor in all my relationships. To God, to my wife, to my children, to you as a church, to my coworkers. That I want to honor you and value you as image bearers of the King for his honor and glory. Let's pray. Father, we've covered a lot of ground this morning and touched only skimmed the top of the honor and respect and your authority structure you've set up for us to function in. God, we've fallen so short so many times of abusing our positions, abusing what you've given us. Lord, we fall before you. Recognizing our failures. Lord, speak to us. Continue to help us in this area as leaders, as men, as children, as young people, Lord, to honor, to value people in our lives, authorities in our lives. God, may we be a light. May we lead this way in our land, in our culture, in our world, of being people of honor and respect and valuing people like you do. And it's not on what's on the outside, Lord, but it's valuing for who they are and who they can be in you. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.